Lord Russell, we've covered a great variety of topics in these talks. What do you think it all amounts to in terms of the hopes and fears of mankind for the future?
Well, that's an extremely difficult question. Assuming, as we are doing, that the human race does not wipe itself out in a great war, assuming that, I think the greatest danger that I see is regimentation. I think it's quite possible that under the influence of scientific discoveries and administrative possibilities and organization, the world may get so organized that there's no fun to be had anywhere.
Do you think that the administrative type may become uppermost?
I think it may. The administrative type combined with a certain kind of scientific efficiency, because the administrative type can do things now that it never could do before. Some of them are good, but a good many of them are not.
What sort of things do you think he might do, this administrative type, which might be bad?
Well, in the first place, he could, beginning in infant schools and going onward, get quite enormous power over people's opinions and thoughts, so that what a man thinks, what a man hopes, what a man fears, is determined for him by the education authorities, and is exactly such as they think he should hope and fear. And it will be an essential part of such an education that he will be taught to think well of the government, which is not always wise.
But will there always be a strong, independently minded body of people like yourself who will be able to disregard this type of teaching?
I don't think so, no. People, the type that I belong to, grew up in an old-fashioned world, a more haphazard world than the one that I'm contemplating for the future. A world where there were more loopholes and more exceptions, and where people were not all put into one exact mold, as I can see them being in the future. Take what is perhaps an extremely important aspect of this whole thing. Take eugenics. Supposing that a scientific government got obsessed with the possibilities of breeding what they would think a better race than ours is, it would become fairly obvious, from a purely scientific point of view, that the future race ought to be bred from, say, 5% of the males and, say, 30% of the females, and that in order to make sure of this, the rest should be sterilized. Well, I think that would be very unpleasant indeed, but I can quite see it happening.
But do you think that there really is a serious possibility that science may so obsess people's minds that this sort of thing may happen?
Yes, I think they might do it in the interests of victory in war, because it's quite clear that you could produce a race that way that could be far more efficient in war than the people produced by accidental, haphazard methods such as we've pursued hitherto.
All that a 1984 or Brave New World concept, but do you think it applies really outside the communist world? I mean, for example, as far as conformative opinion and so on goes.
I think it's a little less dangerous in the West than it is in the communist world, but it very, very emphatically exists in the West, very emphatically.
What, conformative opinion and conformative dress, habit and thought and so on?
Yes. Now, take art. I have noticed over and over again when I've been traveling, especially in America, that they have an enormous respect for art and honor European artists and pay them large numbers of dollars. But no American child is allowed to have the kind of exceptional mentality which is necessary if he is to become an artist, so that all the artists they revere are European and not American.
Do you mean you think that all this might lead to a general ossification in which nothing new happens?
Yes, I think there's very great danger of that. A kind of Byzantine static society that would go on generation after generation much the same, until at last it got so stereotyped that people couldn't bear it and swept it away from boredom.
One of the difficulties that seems to face mankind is that he can never do anything by halves. He may start off something quite well, and then he takes it to an extreme. Do you think that he'll ever learn moderation?
Well, I'm sure I hope he will. I think it's very necessary indeed. And I think there is quite a possibility of it. I don't take these gloomy prognostications we've been going through as being gospel truth. I very much hope they won't come off.
Can we turn now to the more cheerful things?
Well, I should say that the first thing that is needed is a realization that the evils of the world, including evils which formerly could not possibly have been prevented, can now be prevented and continue to exist only because people have passions in their souls which are evil and which make them unwilling to take the steps that would make other people happy. I think the whole trouble in the modern world, given the powers of modern technique, lies in the individual psychology, in the individual person's bad passions, and that if that were realized, and if it were realized further, that if you want to be happy in the modern, closely integrated world, you have to put up with your neighbor also being happy, however much you may hate him. I think if those things were realized, you could get a world far happier than any that has ever existed before.
What sort of evil things do you think you could push away if people would direct their passions in the sort of way you're suggesting?
Well, first of all, war. Secondly, poverty. In old days, poverty was unavoidable for the majority of the population. Nowadays, it isn't. If the world chose, it could, within 40 years, abolish poverty. Illness, of course, has been enormously diminished and could be diminished still further. There is no reason why people should be unable to have periods of sheer enjoyment frequently.
But we're now talking really about the creation of positive goods, I suppose. And what other sort of positive goods can be produced by man, do you think, in the future?
I think a great deal depends on education. I think in education...